Hi, and welcome to this bite-sized edition of Why Are You So Scared? And I have a special guest with us, a special spook that would like to remain anonymous, that is going to share a story but has not told me what this story is about. So I think I will let him start sharing his spooky story.
Hey, good evening, everyone. I just want to talk to you guys a little bit about something that's been calling me for a long time. I don't know if any of you have ever been in love with a woman, ever been in love with a beautiful woman, and just kind of heard the way that she calls your name, that she entices you through there with her treasures, with all of her gifts that she gives you. Now, one of the things that I wanted to talk about here is gold. Now, the ancients said that gold was, in essence, the sun coming down to the earth. But gold is kind of, it's kind of boring a little bit. I want to talk a little bit more about the stars and the stars coming down to the earth. And that is, in essence, like a metal called iridium and kind of its unmistakable grip that it has on me and on other people. Some people call it the call of the wild. Some people call it gold fever. Some people call it a lot of things. But when you get it, when it hits you, you know it's there. You think about it in the morning. You think about it when you go to sleep. You think about it throughout the day. It's like being in love. You can't stop thinking about it. Only when you're in love with a woman, sometimes that feeling goes away after about a year, maybe two.
But kids.
Kids, that's right. But this feeling, it never goes away. You're constantly thinking about it. And when you grasp the treasures out of the river, out of the ground, for whatever reason, you just don't want to let them go. You think about them, you look at them, you admire them, and it has a pull over you like no other type of gravity ever thought before. And so I can see and understand why the ancients thought that gold was part of the sun, as the sun has exerted the most gravity around people. But I think that the more revealing metal is iridium, and it has the pull of stars. Stars that fell to the earth, pieces of the center of the earth coming out and grasping on you. Some people have said that limestone carries special, significant spiritual values, where they have different sightings of different types of ghosts that are around limestone quarries and different types of things that are around limestone. Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that, like, when you're in the mountains, when you're up there all by yourself, searching for these metals, searching for things, that you see things, you hear things. And are they there? I don't know. I mean, how do you tell if something's there if it's not there? There's no one there to tell you it's wrong. There's no one there to tell you it's not there. There's no one there to tell you it is there. You're just simply trying to rely on yourself. And as you're going through the mountains, they call to you, the hills, they call to you, the rivers, they call to you, and you hear it, and that call never goes away. And you'll spend your entire life trying to get up there, spend your entire life trying to get there. It's like an addiction, and it grasps, and it keeps a hold of you forever, and it won't let you go. So I understand why it was at Pharaoh's would bury themselves in a coffin of gold. Some people might think of it as like a waste of wealth, but I think it was just simply giving them what it was that they wanted, putting together the body with the call of the wild, sending it over to the afterlife, and a limestone sarcophagus mounted with gold, mounted with the metal of the sun, mounted with ancient asteroids coming down. And so that's where we're at now. And the question is what are you going to do when you hear that call? When you feel it in your bones, what are you going to do? Are you going to have the strength to get up and follow that? Or are you going to sit there and wonder and let your days go by and the years go by and the months go by, never heeding that call, never going there and finding it? But I guess the question that everyone has to ask is, are you really looking for gold? Or are you searching for something more? I found gold, and I found silver, and I found lots and lots of material wealth. But I've never sold gold, and I never sold silver, and I never sold my material wealth and converted it to cash, something to spend. Because when you get up there, you realize that, as the writer Jack London would say, the wealth is all around you. It's all there. It's the relationships that you build with your family. It's the connections that you get. And with these connections, you kind of build lifelong connections, and you realize that that's the call that the mountain gives you. That's the connection that you have with the spiritual world there in those mountains, is a connection with your peers, with those around you. And you hold on to those connections because they're more precious than gold. They're more precious than gold than a stream, fine gold. They're more precious than anything that you might look out for. And so in that spiritual connection, when your friends have died, when your family's gone, when all those people have disappeared that were around you that kind of fostered those memories, they're still there. Ghosts. Hanging on. Haunting your memories. Haunting your dreams. Deep within the wild. And who are they to tell you that it's not true? Who are they to tell you that they're not there? Because they are. They're all around you. And someday, you'll be there with them again. And the question you'll have to answer when you get there, I believe, is, did you heed the call of the wild? Did you go there? Or did you stay seated, watching TV? Did you give way to your work? Did you give way to your responsibilities? Or did you go chasing ghosts and apparitions and things that aren't there in order to find something more precious than gold and more precious than silver? Something that'll last long beyond what we're here. And those are connections to other people. Think of the fun you can have out there. Think of the connections you can make, even if it's just with yourself, alone, in the woods, in a tent, by a fire, not knowing whether or not that rustle in the woods was in fact a ghost, not knowing in fact whether that chill up and down your spine was something paranormal. Does it matter? I don't think it does. But what does matter is that you made it out there. And you're building these memories, and these memories will last. And you're building these things up. And when finally you two are laid in that golden sarcophagus, covered up in limestone and gold, finally connected with those that you love, finally connected with the ground that you cherished, there you'll be. A ghost. And this is my ghost story.
Now, don't you have a few ghost stories from a mine?
Oh, yeah. I think every mine has ghost stories. there are lots and lots of stories about people coming up out of a 700-foot deep mine shaft after working all day, looking around, kind of asking themselves, asking the foreman, hey, what's going on? They just have this blank look on their face, and they're looking around, and then suddenly, like as though walking towards an apparition, walking towards a woman that's calling their name, they fall down the shaft and fall to their deaths at 700 feet. Some three or four people there at certain mines have done that, and they're well-published stories about I don't know if it's a siren or if it's a woman or whatever it is, calling people to their deaths there. And it happens quite a lot. And the question comes out is, you know, was this person following something, or was this person crazy, or what was going on there? No one really knows. Unfortunately, sometimes when the bodies fall some 700 feet down a mine shaft there, there's water at the bottom that's relatively cold. And their body falls to the bottom of that cold sump, and they never recover the bodies. They can't. They're just simply down there forever, and they'll remain there. So that's one of the unfortunate things about there. Mm-hmm.
So I found a story. This also is written by someone who would like to remain anonymous, called The Coal Miner's Ghost. And it was a story shared by the author's mom. So the mom had walked down the street approximately a quarter mile to her mother's house for supper. When she left the granny's house, it was dark. And on the other side of the street between granny's house and mom's house, there was a mountain which had a dirt trail leading up to a house. A light caught her eye, so she watched it, figuring someone was walking up the trail carrying a lantern. But when the light rose up into the trees and then up above the trees, she thought it was rather strange, but really didn't think too much about it. When she got to her house, she called for her girlfriend. She lived in the apartment upstairs from mom, to come out to see it. And all of a sudden, her friend started uncontrollably crying and saying that there was going to be an accident in the mines. But her husband and my mother's worked the night shift in the coal mines. That every time that the light was seen, an accident happened. Legend had it that an old coal miner used to live up on the mountain and that he had died in an explosion in the mines. Since then, his ghost comes back to warn the men when there's going to be another explosion. And sure enough, whenever that light was seen, there was an explosion indeed. My mom tried to calm her friend down, and they all went in for the night. At about 2 a.m., Mom was awoken by a knock on the door. It was some men from the mine who came to tell her that there is an explosion in the mine and that her husband had been hurt. He lost 2 fingers in the explosion. From that night on, Mom said she would never look up that mountain trail again. She didn't want to see the lantern light. So miners are pretty,
Superstitious.
Would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, these superstitions, they're kind of based in fact. Sometimes the coal miner's light, like she's talking about, could be a buildup of methane gas starting to spontaneously combust there and cause a little bit of light coming forward. Also, the miners will watch the rats in the mines to see if they're starting to run, because the rats will know when there's going to be an earthquake or a cave-in, and they'll start evacuating the mine. And so you always want to pay close attention to your surroundings. And some of these superstitions are really based in fact, and it's an easy way to remember things. So if you start seeing strange lights above a mine, you might want to get out. That might be an indication that there's gas. If you start seeing rats running out, it's a pretty good idea to be like the rats and run out. And that being said, when you start seeing birds fly south, they're smart enough to get away from the cold weather. Maybe we should be too, but that's another story.
And you had mentioned limestone earlier, that it has been documented that ghosts or paranormal activity does pick up around limestone. Have you heard of that before?
Yeah, I have heard of like the ghost or the paranormal activity picking up around limestone. Now, a lot of the mining camps that I've been at have been in what are called dolomite deposits, which is kind of a type of limestone. And so you have whole entire mountains that are kind of made basically of limestone and marble limestone, other types of limestone. And do you see things come up? Do you see things happen? I don't know. I definitely hear the call, and you definitely hear that, and you definitely do see things, but I guess I haven't been around mines in the coal fields or other places. Might have been mostly in the western United States.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this special edition, this bite-sized episode of Why Are You So Scared? Our traditions. And this was about miners and their traditions. And so we hope you enjoyed this. Do you have any final words or thoughts?
Well, just so the listeners are aware, I'm holding in my hand here about 30 grams worth of gold nuggets. And I always look at them. I just want for you to kind of hold these in your hand and just kind of look at them and tell me what you think of them.
Okay.
Like, where do you think they've journeyed through? Like, you ever think about that? Does it call to you at all? Or does it just have eyes for me?
Maybe just you. I'm not sure. I've never thought of it that way.
Yeah, well,
it's in your blood.
I guess everyone has their own persuasion, and I guess this is mine.
All right. Well, we'll talk at you next time. Bye.